You're listening to Toronto's number one real estate podcast, powered by Watson Estates. The most successful local real estate investing starts right here, right now. Here's your host, broker, investor, and social media influencer, Bradley Watson.
Hey investors, Bradley here from Watson Estates, and you're listening to the largest, fastest growing podcast for Toronto real estate on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Beyond doing market updates, keeping in the loop with what's going on in our marketplace, I love to bring on guests that can add value and teach us some things. Today, I learned a ton as I talked to our guest, Jude Kamal, about Heritage Homes. She works for a company called Sansa Interiors, and she moved to Canada at the age of 16. And having built this business, she has been able to help a number of clients really do renovations and update those heritage homes and is familiar with the process of doing that. So today we talked about some of the opportunities, some of the risks, things you should know as an investor or someone purchasing a heritage home in general in the city of Toronto. I know you're going to learn a ton. Please hit that like, subscribe to our channel. And if you have any comments or questions for myself or Jude, you can leave those down below. Enjoy the show. Jude, thank you for joining us on the show. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I am thrilled that you guys reached out to our show. We get a lot of guest requests, but this one really immediately jumped because of the idea of the topic, which today is going to be heritage homes. Now, I know you wrote a blog on heritage homes and you're familiar with the interior design, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about your company, how you kind of got where you are. And that'll, I think, be a good stepping stone for us to get into deeper conversations on heritage homes.
For sure. Hi. Thanks for having us. My name is Jude. I actually am the founder of Sansa Interiors. We are an interior design company. We do interiors and architectural spaces, and we utilize existing architectural features to determine the story of interiors. Our process is really hands-on and unique in the way that we approach projects and the way we focus on design elements, and we love to give spaces a personality of their own. I started this company right before COVID actually hit, and it's been a very interesting journey. So we had to go remote immediately, and we built this on the rise of the pandemic. So it's been an interesting journey, and we love to do that. So we're slowly designing homes, we're doing restaurants, we're flipping houses and condos. So this is the summary of it, but I mean, I could go on and on.
No, and that's fantastic. I mean, and to kind of put it into context, the show, this podcast, we started at the rise of the pandemic as well. So I know, I know from having looked into your company a little bit, you guys have a variety, you kind of mentioned there, you have a variety of different housing types that you do. But I do want to really focus on the heritage home aspect, because me personally, I generally avoid heritage homes. So I want to talk about what's drawn you to that, the level of success you've had, and what are some things people need to think about if they wanted to add that to their portfolio? I mean, you know, Jude, a lot of our audiences are investors. They've got maybe one or two properties, or they're looking to scale. And there's a lot of formulas to do that, but as far as housing type, there's not a lot of information out there on what makes a good choice for a property. So maybe you can start off by telling us to you, and I know it depends on the location, but what is a heritage home? And let's also focus maybe on Toronto. What defines a heritage home in the city?
Mm-hmm. So usually I've been interested in heritage homes for a very long time, actually, ever since I was in school. Heritage is usually... It means like that it has an importance or a significance to a wider community, and it's usually like a historic building. That is the actual definition of heritage. But there's a lot of misconceptions about heritage, that sometimes when you see an older home, you'd assume it's heritage, but it's really not. It has to be deemed as heritage under the city of Toronto. They have a heritage conservation team, and they do mark buildings or certain buildings with certain architectural elements as heritage. So there are a lot of them in Toronto, and a lot of the older homes that are pre-1970, even older, they're under the Ontario Heritage Act. So it's really tough to determine which home is heritage and not. You would need to go online and and figure out if your property is heritage or not. But a lot of people shy away from it, but there are so many unique elements in each property that could be very appealing to buyers, to even sellers and renters.
Sorry, did you say 1970 or?
Some of them are before 1970, but there are many others that are way older.
I'm getting friggin' old. So you can have a building as late as the late 60s be classified as a heritage. And it sounds like it's actually architecture. Or what triggers a home to switch to a heritage unit or building?
Yeah, for sure. So there are certain aspects. So sometimes in buildings, the facade is the heritage, or the facade is what's marked as the heritage under the Ontario Heritage Act. Other times it could be the windows or the door, or sometimes it's very random features that you cannot even touch. But in most of the cases, it's mainly the facade, which is the front face of the building. So a good example that everybody would know is Osgoode Hall in Toronto. That is a heritage building, and that's why they cannot really modify the facade. So even the exterior with where the staircase, and they added those two ramps, they had to make sure that the ramps don't hinder the exterior facade. So it's like certain elements that would impose certain standards and guidelines, and then you can know what you could do and what you cannot do without it.
So no two heritage buildings are created equal. It sounds like you have aspects of the building that need to be maintained, but mm-hmm. beyond those, everything is up for grabs. Or is there ever a building where it's like you can't do anything or almost complete limitations on it? Or I guess that
there
would just
are,
be the point of
yeah, there are. Those would be the ones that are much older, and they usually are marked as so there's like other styles, like there's the Edwardian style, the Victorian style, there's even pre those styles. And in most cases, a lot of the buildings in Toronto that are not residential, a lot of them are fully heritage.
Interesting.
From like top to bottom, even the roofs. Yeah. So it gets tricky when you come to renovate something that is fully heritage because you can't really touch it. And in most cases, the government or like the city would own those properties.
I see. Now, so when I think of heritage home, one of the examples, I don't know which building it was, but I think it was last year or the year before, there was a story, and I was actually talking to some investors myself that were kind of talking about doing similar stuff where they're recognizing that there's a potential for a unit to convert into a heritage. And so the day before that status is changed, they go and demolish or make big changes. And that's kind of, I guess, playing and toying with the system a little bit. But there's, I don't know, what's that process to go from non-heritage to heritage? Is it somebody submitting a request to the city? Is it done from civilians? Or is it something that how do they identify and decide that's a heritage?
It is a really delicate balance between the preservation and reservation and renovation. But mostly it's the city that's looking out for these properties. And I mean, they do encourage people, if you saw something, that you could submit and say, hey, is this heritage? And then it brings it up to the city. But most cases, they keep track of a lot of the buildings and they mark them in order for them to support the protection and the conservation of them. So they do designate specific buildings and properties for sure.
One of the things that I notice on the real estate side is a lot of people will walk into seeing a heritage home and not, I guess it's one thing to know what a heritage home is, but until you mm-hmm. know that there is such a thing, it's almost like people don't even realize that a heritage home is actually there. They'll just think I'm going to do all the same work that I'm doing. And this could be on the investment side, maybe if you're familiar with buildings, but I think that heritage home status with the city is an important check a lot of people will miss. And if not properly sure. advised, could purchase that property and then come to realize, shoot, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do.
So yes, 100%. It's really a lot of like the knowledge that you need to have is definitely important when it comes to heritage. And most cases, the interior is not really marked as heritage. So in most cases, it's usually the exterior that has those heritage elements or designations. And a lot of the interior, you have freedom to do so much with it. So that's why it gets really tricky, because sometimes people want to update the exterior or flip a home from inside to outside and the other way around, and it gets limiting. And especially because heritage homes are older, they need more work, they need more maintenance. And there are so many aspects in them that are very common, and problems that will arise that you would need to tackle. So it's usually really important to hire somebody experienced, like a consultant that could help you with the whole process and really understanding what it entails to get into a property like this.
It's funny because they just announced new rebates on the environmental, increasing your energy efficiency, but heritage takes precedence over energy efficiency.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. And I mean, most heritage homes are not really energy efficient, and right. You could turn them into more energy efficient homes by renovating the interior. So it's all interwoven together at the end.
Is there ever a scenario? I can't think of one. Is there ever a scenario where it makes sense for you to want your property to be a heritage unit or to opt for or apply?
A lot of people would love to have that because they do have you're having a unique piece of history, right? Like imagine having this part of history or a story in history that is part of your home. That's usually a great resale and rental appeal. Like it has a big aesthetic appeal as well, and it does increase the value of your property for sure once you have a heritage home, because then you know that it's like a work of art or a piece of architecture that becomes almost like a landmark over time. And in other cases, a lot of those heritage homes get featured in different magazines, TV shows, like a lot of old shows, they try to find those homes to like document or film certain series or TV shows.
Yeah. We'll get into this. I know there's investors that are like me that are just like, but why would you ever do that? Yeah. Right. So we'll start talking about the implications, I think, later in this show on what that looks like for investors. But I'm curious to know the permit and approval process. How does that look inside Toronto? Is there differences from various cities? How do you, as someone who's been selected to help consult and do the interior design, what's the steps that you need to take? And how are those maybe different from a typical unit that's not a heritage home?
Yeah, so usually you do definitely need a permit and approval from, you need a heritage approval permit specifically to get the renovation work started. In most cases for a normal property, you would go into the city, create a bunch of drawings and submit those to the city, and you wait and then you get your permit. With heritage, it gets a little bit more complicated because the city will review what physical changes you may affect or impact on the heritage home. And maybe if there is neighboring heritage homes as well next to you, how will that affect the neighboring homes? And then the permit most definitely will always get rejected if you will alter the exterior heritage attributions that are in the space. So you need to work around those heritage attributions. Unless you update it while maintaining the look, then it's fine. But for interior renovations and like small fixes like painting, flooring, eavesdrops, all those simple fixes, you won't require a heritage permit for it. So it becomes more of a normal permit that you go under the city. So it's like certain boundaries that you need to follow. And it's a long process because you definitely need drawings. You would need probably a few weeks for permitting. So for the city of Toronto right now with COVID, I know they're taking about 6 to 8 weeks to give you a permit. And then you could start the work. In normal times, pre-COVID, it was 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah. So there are certain timelines that you need to consider. And also other people might think it's just the permit and you call it a day, but you need to pre-plan and you need to save up. You need to finance it. You need to also understand what you are like having down the line. And there are what's also really great is that there are so many grants and heritage tax rebate programs. And that's what usually incentivizes people to update those heritage homes.
What's an example? I was actually gonna ask you another question, but that's a really good point. What is an example of that you've seen of a rebate or a program to help support the heritage?
The most famous one that we encountered is called the Heritage Grant Program. And it's from the City of Toronto. They usually match or give you funds to repair and maintain the historic heritage attributes, like the brick or the masonry, if what people call it, roofing, doors, windows. And those are grants that happen over 5 years. So you could reapply for them every 5 years, and it will continue to help maintain those heritage attributes. So it's a great thing, because after a while, every home's windows and brick and roofing, all of them need to be updated. So imagine this, like every 5 years, you could reapply to the grant and get this amazing program that supports you. The other one is a tax rebate program, and it's called the Heritage Tax Rebate Program. And you could get a rebate of up to 50% for your maintenance cost, and then, and I believe it's 40% for your property tax. So those are things that add up over time and you get it back. So it really is great if you're eligible for such a program to try to apply for one.
There's a gentleman in Toronto actually that owned what was a heritage home, and he was being approached by a developer. It was kind of in a corner right downtown. And one of the things that they said is they wanted to purchase his property to link it to the development of a condo that they were going to get. And I guess the incentive there was maybe something along the lines of what you're describing. We're keeping at least a portion of the condo as heritage. I don't know how that plays in. I don't know if that rings any bells, but having that as part of that portfolio actually acted as a huge incentive for the developer.
For sure. I mean, I know a bunch of buildings in the city that bought heritage homes, and they built literally a 20 something story condo on top of it. So what they did, it's very interesting to see them building it, because they would keep the front facade and they would support, it's literally a free wall standing, which is the front face of the building. And then that's literally all they keep. And then they build behind it almost a full condo. So it's really, it looks interesting, but at the end of the day, it's really, they just kept a single wall, which is the front face of the building. And then they did whatever they wanted to it. Even the ROM Museum, a lot of people don't realize that, but it has a heritage element in it, the backside of it. And you see that diamond shaped structure, it's connected to that heritage portion. So there are some cool examples in the city. Once you actually start noticing, you'll see some buildings that have like this old looking structure connected to this very modern and futuristic structure. So those are usually a mix of heritage versus new. And they look great.
Yeah, I like the way they look. But I found it interesting that they could have opted to not pick up that property, but the decision was made that it was worth doing it. Which I guess speaks to that increasing value that you described. Mm-hmm. So for someone who's considering purchasing, let's start off with a primary residence. So somewhere you want to live, you're thinking, you know what, I want to buy, I'm looking at a heritage home. Mm-hmm. What are some things that they should consider before they move in? I know we've maybe covered some of it, but I'm curious, what are some of the thoughts that maybe we haven't thought of that are important?
So the most important thing I would say is you need to understand the limitations you have, because there are provincial, in some cases, not always, provincial and municipal limitations to what you can do with the building. So if you understand those and you're okay with them, then great, you could go ahead and go for it. The other con or the downside to a heritage home is they're very unpredictable. So they're old homes. Most cases, 100% of the time, to the heritage homes I've seen, they've had asbestos and they've had mold issues. So you need to be up for the challenge to gut it and really fix that, because that also imposes a safety risk. But the upside to it is you're getting this beautiful architectural element, and you're going to get a high resale and rental appeal value. And also, over time, you could maintain it and get the grants into the city to make it even better. So those are the things I would consider. It's like the give and take. What are you getting from it, and what are you having to give up? And those are the things. It varies from person to person. Some people care so much about the looks, they don't care about what the work or the interior upgrades that are needed. Other people don't want to spend a lot on interior upgrades, so they end up opting out of purchasing a heritage home.
Yeah, I mean, we're noticing a trend, having spoken to pretty large investors, people who are tracking the market, and they've brought it to my attention even that it's a lot of newer homes is what people seem to be gravitating towards these days. Mm-hmm. And that's across Canada. So it's interesting to look at heritage homes. Maybe there's an opportunity in there where people are kind of disregarding them in the short term, but there's an opportunity in the long term if you're willing to take on the risk. Like I know there's folks that will buy a home because it has a foundation crack, because they know what that entails, and it freaks so many people out that if you have a platform to be successful in it, you can really dominate. So
for sure.
So from that angle, we're talking about if you owned it, or if you, I mean, you mentioned briefly in a rental, but I'm curious from an mm-hmm. investment perspective, would you purchase, a 2-3 unit, maybe near a university, rent it to students? Like, is that, would you apply that strategy in a heritage home, or would you say that it's better served elsewhere?
I would personally think it's better served elsewhere, because there are so many heritage homes in the city that are rented to students. And I don't think that's the approach to go. I do think it needs more care and love, and it needs someone that is living in the home that is actually appreciating this architecture, because it needs care. So I would personally purchase something like that and rent it to a family or someone who's planning on staying within the house for a longer run, because then they will give it more care, or the care that it needs, or even live in it yourself. But for those who are looking to invest, if you're looking to buy a heritage property, I would highly recommend to rent it to a family or somebody who is going to appreciate and take good care of it. Not that students won't, but we all know that people buy properties and rent them to students expecting them they're going to be trashed. So there, you need to understand who your renter is and what your demographic that you're going after is as well. A lot of people in the city, like young professionals, they're usually looking for a cool home to stay in and rent. So that could be a great option as well for them.
Just curious, if a beer bottle smashes a stained glass window, do you have to find the same stained glass window?
You would need to almost replace it in an identical way. Yeah. So, and it gets tricky that way, because you would need insurance, first of all, to insure certain heritage elements. So it's more costly, and you would need to almost replicate it into the same exact window and put it back in.
Yeah. Sounds fun and expensive.
Exactly. So it's not ideal.
My investor bells ring when I hear, you know, it's a piece of art, protect it. That doesn't really sit, the idea. And I mean, people know, look at rental units, look at how landlords are. It's because at the end of the day, it's about cash flow. It's about returns. But I do see the glamour in having a heritage home as a primary residence, or if you do something maybe more creative, you know, maybe if it's a mixed use commercial, maybe you're doing a development, maybe you're doing a short-term rental, as part of your primary residence, hopefully within the city of Toronto. And that gives you a little bit more character that you can use to generate more income. But other than that, I'm wondering, so your primary clients, why do they call you in to help them to, like, where is it that you would reach out to somebody who's familiar with heritage homes, if they already have one, or if they're looking to purchase one, like, where does that begin? Mm-hmm. How do they find you /, what does that process look like for them as a customer?
For sure. So usually people find us on Google. That's mainly how we've been reaching out to us. And they go on our website. There's a bunch of information. They contact us, and it usually comes to me. So usually most of the cases, people directly send me an email, which is great. I love hearing from them. And I respond back. We set up a 15-minute call, and it's a very casual conversation we have. Like, I usually ask them about their needs, their wants, their struggles, their pain points. And we really like dig deep into certain parts of functionality in the existing property they own. And our process is very simple. So it requires us, like, you reach out to us, we have a conversation. If you like what you hear, then we send you out a proposal, you sign it, and we get started right away. So it's very simple. There's no back and forth or any hidden agendas in it. It's very straightforward. And we usually like to work with materials and natural elements that really gather inspiration from like modern architecture. And we focus also on the interior functionality, which is so important and people tend to oversee. And that's why we work with people and we go from there.
When you talk to people about developers coming in and putting up these skyscrapers, and there's a lot of criticism that it's going to kill the natural beauty of our city. So chatting with you about heritage homes is really kind of refreshing to hear that there is a level of a protection. I'd rather it not be my investment property, but it's nice to hear that in our city, there is appreciation for art and for the beauty that we've got. And it's great to hear. I know anytime we have episodes, podcasts like this, down in the comments, I start to get a lot of people, you know, sending messages or saying, hey, how do I learn more about this? So absolutely, Jude, you're probably going to hear from some of our listeners. And guys, you can leave a comment down below for Jude. If you have any questions, we'll keep an eye on the video and get back to you. But really appreciate you taking the time. Where can people find you in the social media world?
We're usually known as Sansa Interiors. So sansa.interiors for Instagram and sansainteriors.com for our website. And that's how it is. I know a lot of people may disagree with this whole heritage thing, which is great. We like this disagreement, and that's why we're here.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you, Jude. Really appreciate you taking the time, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. See you.
We'll be right back.